Well, if you would, take your Bibles and go with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. And we're going to look at the first verse. If you have your place in the Scriptures and are able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight? 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Now, he tells the folks that they have received, just like you've received of us, how you ought to walk and please the God, and please the Lord God, that we would abound in that we would do that even more and more. The title of the message tonight is simply More and More. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you again for this week. Lord, it's been good. I've enjoyed this. And Lord, I thank you for the folks for their faithfulness. Now, God, I just pray that you'd give us something one more time tonight. Lord, would you speak to each and every heart? God, help us to have tender hearts, Lord, willing to receive whatever you have for us. I thank you for this church. Lord, these are good folks. This is a good church, and I thank you for each one of them. And God, I know you're pleased. But Father, I wonder if maybe we could do just a little bit more. Lord, I'm including myself in this. Lord, I'm not a member of Calvary Baptist Church, but God, I believe maybe I could do a little more for you as well. I pray that you just give us what we need tonight and help us. Now, Lord, I need you. I just pray you touch me. I just want to be a blessing to these folks, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you'll notice there, he says, looking at that verse one more time, furthermore, then we beseech you. Now, notice it says, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. So who's this we and this and the us? Let's go back to chapter 1, and we'll see who he's referring to. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus under the church of the Thessalonians. So Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus together are writing this letter. Paul gets credited for the letter. I got to believe that Paul was the primary writer, but they all three seems as though they all three maybe had a little bit of input here. And they are writing to these folks and encouraging them to do just a little more than they had done before. And so I'm thinking, well, what have they done? What is it that Paul is encouraged with and challenging them to do a little more? So let's go back and kind of look through this this book and see what we can figure out here. See if we can tell what Paul is referring to. So as they have been walking and pleasing God, do it more and more. Okay, how have they been walking? Chapter 1. All right, chapter 1, we were just there. Chapter 1, and I'll look down at verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. They had a work of faith. These folks understood faith. Amen? Now, my Bible tells me that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. You've got to have faith or God's not happy. All right? You want to please God? I want to please God. Amen? We want to please the Lord. All right, it's imperative that we have faith. These folks had faith. But Paul's challenge to them was maybe we could turn it up a notch, okay? Maybe we could increase our faith. Maybe we could have a little bit more faith as we look to the next coming year. I don't know. Maybe there'll be another revival very similar to this next fall. Maybe our faith can be a little bit stronger a year from now than it is today. That was the goal. That's what Paul was challenging them with. Now, if you'll go to, just stick a gospel tract there in 1 Thessalonians and go with me to Luke for just a moment. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. I'd like to see my faith grow, would you? I'd like to see it continue to grow. Luke 17, and I want you to see 5 and 6. And the apostles said unto the Lord. Now these are the apostles. These are the guys that ran with him. Amen. They were right behind him. They were with him all the time. They served the Lord with him. His apostles, all right? Paul's apostles in verse 5, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Ooh, I don't have that kind of faith. I don't have that kind of faith. But see, the apostle says, Lord, increase our faith. They had faith. Obviously, the apostles had faith. They'd left their jobs and followed Jesus. They were serving him on a regular basis. They were right with him. They left their families. They left their livelihood. And these were men of faith. And these men of faith realized that their faith could be stronger. And then just to kind of emphasize that a little bit, the Lord's kind of like, yeah, you're right. Your faith could be stronger. If you just had a wee tiny little bit of faith, You could just say this mountain. Wow! Be thou removed and cast into the sea. Oh my goodness. Wow. You mean just a little bit of faith would be enough to do that? Oh my, increase our faith. It's not, now Paul in 1 Thessalonians was not being critical of them at all. He was saying, I'd like to see you do a little bit more. Do it more and more. As you have been serving the Lord, as you have been a church of faith and men and ladies of faith, let's see if we could do it a little more. You're a church of faith. I can see that. I know that. But maybe we could grow it just more and more. Amen. And then back in 1 Thessalonians again, and chapter 1 and verse 3, as we look on, it says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. A labor of love. See, serving the Lord as a labor of love is so important in our lives. I mean, nothing we do for the Lord ought to be done out of obligation. Absolutely nothing we do for the Lord ought to be out of obligation. Well, if I don't do it, who will? Somebody's got to do it. If I'm not there, then what? You ladies that play the instruments, I appreciate that. A lot of churches don't have anybody to play the piano. You're here to do that. I appreciate that, but I hope you don't come because if I'm not there on the organ, there won't be. If I'm not on the piano, what will they do? No, we come because it's a labor of love. We do it for the Lord. We love the Lord. You see what I mean? We love to serve the Lord. And your job, put it in there. There's some guys out in the back that are keeping us safe today. And I thank God for those guys. You hear me back there? I thank God for y'all back in the foyer. They're a blessing. Amen. I appreciate that. But I hope they're not here because nobody else will do it. You see, it's a labor of love when we serve God. Amen. It's a labor of love. We do it because we love Him. Look at verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. When we turn to God from our idols or from our religion or whatever it was before we got saved, amen. You fill in the blank. Whatever you left to come to God, you didn't come just to go to heaven. You came to serve. Amen. We get saved to serve. We want to serve God, not just attend. No, we serve the Lord. These folks in Thessalonica, they were serving the Lord. And Paul was pleased with their service. And I'm pleased with your service. Your pastor is pleased with your service. But could we maybe turn it up a notch?
could maybe we find a way to serve the Lord just a little bit more than maybe we have in the past. Find a way to do just a little more for the Lord. So many things we can do for Him. Let's find a way to do just a little more than we have been. Amen. Now go with me to verse 6. I'm still in chapter 1. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. These folks were followers of God and His preachers. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Oh, so important that we follow God. Amen. So important that we follow the Lord. Let's never get off track and start following some other way, all right? Satan comes along and tempts us and tries to get us to do whatever, you know. No, there's no turning back for me. I'm following God, all right? Well, now, the apostle Paul challenged us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1 to be followers of me even as I am of Christ. So the idea here is, yes, I'm following God, But it's hard for me to see exactly where God's going, but God reveals His direction to His pastor, to the pastor, and we can focus on Him. All right. And as the pastor leads, we get behind and we follow the pastor as he follows Christ. That's what Paul was trying to explain, that as Paul is following Christ, that and then the people follow after Paul. It's good to get your eyes on a good godly man and follow him. Number one, your pastor. All right, number one, your pastor. And we got a couple other pastors here tonight too. Thank you, men, for coming. Your people follow you. You see, we follow the man of God. I follow my pastor. I appreciate my pastor. I may be a preacher and I may not get to hear my pastor preach very often, but I follow my pastor. He is my leader. He's following God and I get behind him and I follow him and follow his lead. And these folks, God, they had it. Okay, they didn't have a problem with that, but Paul was challenging them to do just a little more. Over in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews, you're almost there near the end of your Bible. Just keep turning a little bit farther. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Well, that's obviously the pastor. The pastor rules the church according to the word of God, and he speaks unto us the word of God. Okay, so we remember them, but then notice it says, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So we follow our pastor's faith. Sometimes our faith is limited, okay? And we talked about having faith, and Lord, increase our faith, but sometimes it's just not what we wish it was, okay? But the pastor, sometimes he has more faith than we do. All right? I know in my case, I'd have to say that regarding church matters, regarding decisions made at the Bethel Baptist Church in Ravenna, Ohio, sometimes my pastor has more faith than I do. Now, just being honest with you, okay? Not that I disagree with him, not that we don't have a problem at all. We love each other. There's no problem at all. But sometimes his faith is more than mine. Well, that's to be expected. He's the pastor, okay? He ought to have strong faith, all right? So I follow the faith of my pastor. If my faith is weak, I look to him. If your faith is weak, you look to your pastor and ride on his faith for a little while and let him lead. So these folks, they were following the preachers. They were following not just the Apostle Paul, not just their pastor, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, all right? They were following the faith of God's men, and that's a good thing to do. Amen. That's a good thing to do, to get behind the men of God that have an influence in your life. Now, can I warn you, just this is kind of off the script just a little bit, but can I warn you, be careful who you follow. Just because somebody claims to be a man of God, I'd be cautious. Number one, if the guy gets up there and starts quoting out of a funny book and it's not the King James Bible, I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical. If that guy does, if he's not settled on the authority from God, okay, if he's not reading from God's authority, from the authority for man, then I can't follow him, all right? Okay, if his doctrine is a little wacky, you know, oh, he's really good in this area, but oh my goodness, he's way off over here. Are you sure he's right on here? You know, maybe it sounds good to start with, but there might be some little bit, because he's so far off over here, I don't trust him at all. I just don't trust him. I trust my pastor, okay? I trust my pastor. And if my pastor brings a preacher in and he allows that preacher to stand behind this sacred desk, then I'll trust that man because my pastor approves of him. All right, but I'm not everybody I tune in on the radio I'm going to listen to. Not everybody I see on the television I'm going to watch, all right? I'm cautious. Not every book I see that says that some preacher wrote it am I going to read, okay? I'm really cautious about that, all right? That was a freebie. Just thought I'd throw that in, all right? Now, notice in chapter 1, so they were follower of God and his preachers, and y'all are too. Just you keep it up, but maybe even a little more. Amen. Just a little bit more and more. Verse 6 again, chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. They received the word. They received the word. So it's one thing just to hear the preacher and to follow the preacher, but they received the word. They took it in and says, yeah, I believe that. I'm going to act upon that. I'm going to receive it and make that truth my truth. I'm going to receive it and they just ate it up. And we ought to just eat up the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. We ought to just eat it up and say, boy, I believe that. That's true. That comes from the man of God. And if that's his conviction and I see it in the Bible, I see it black and white. That's why we always challenge, as fundamental Baptists, we always challenge the people to bring their Bibles and follow along. So you know it's coming from God, not just the preacher. Okay. And we see it backed up in the Word of God. We watch it in the preacher's life and we say, you know what? Make that mine. Make that mine. Make that my conviction. That's your conviction, preacher. Amen. That's great. All right. But I think I'm going to make it my conviction too. I'm going to receive the word and make it mine. I'm going to embrace it and make it mine. And oh my, there's a blessing. There's a blessing in receiving the word. In fact, if you notice, it says they received it with joy. They received the word in much affliction, even though there were some difficult times, they received it with joy of the Holy Ghost. They received it in joy. Oh, there's joy in receiving the word. Never bristle at the preaching of God's word. Sometimes we have a tendency when we hear something that's new to us or different or we get our toes stepped on, we bristle a little bit. You know, well, preacher, wait a minute now. I wish you weren't preaching on that. You know, oh, never bristle at the preaching of God's word. Keep an open heart to receive the word of God. And folks, you're doing a great job. Honest. I really believe that. I've challenged you this week. There have been some things I've challenged you to find a way you can serve God and serve Him. And, you know, so many things we've talked about. We've talked about that empty bucket. Amen. And come expecting a blessing from God and getting rid of some sin in our lives. And I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching at us. Amen. You know, I got those same problems. I'm human too. Okay. All of us could do a little more and all of us have flaws in our lives. All right, but y'all are good folk. But I just think that every Christian alive today could probably do a tad more than what they're doing right now. Okay, I think we all could, and that's the challenge. Amen. To receive the word just a little more, a little easier, a little more readily. Open our hearts to the word of God when God challenges us with something from His word. Verse 7. So that ye were in samples. I think we ought to back up and catch 6 again. Let's look at 6 and 7 together. and ye became followers of us. They're following God and his preachers, following us and of the followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word. So they were receiving the word with much joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. These folks were mission-minded. They were not ashamed of their faith. But you notice, the reason I want to tie that other verse into it is they received the word with joy. There was so much joy in their hearts from receiving the word, they couldn't wait to tell somebody. Amen. When you're excited about something, you tell it, don't you? Well, when you get a new car and you're happy with it, you want everybody to know. You get a lemon, you're either ashamed, or you don't want to say a word, or you might want everybody to know. Okay. But I'll tell you, they were thrilled. Oh, they were thrilled. They're following the preacher. They're so excited. They're receiving the word, and their heart just bubbling with joy. And you can't keep that in. You just can't. You can't suppress that kind of joy. It just try it. You can't. You know, when your kid's born, when your children were born, you want everybody to know, right? Okay. You think that's great. You wait till you have grandchildren. Oh boy, oh boy. Amen. And you want everybody to know. I mean, I didn't carry pictures of the kids, but I could probably find you a picture of the grandkids. All right. Why? Because they bring joy into our lives and you want everybody to know. And oh, Christ has brought so much joy into our lives. He took away all the sadness and the sorrow. Is it perfect? Is it a perfect life? Do I ever have sadness? We talked about sadness a few days ago, didn't we? You know, when sadness comes our way, it does. It does. There are difficult times. And sometimes there are sad days, sad times. But we don't live there. We talked how to rise up over that and we keep on going. Amen. We saw that in the Word of God, all right? But the Christian has a way of climbing up over the sadness and going on for the cause of Christ. A lost man, many times when they find sadness in their lives, they have a very difficult time climbing out. We're blessed. Tell it out. Amen. These folks, they were preaching the gospel to the regions beyond. They were getting out and telling others. And so much so, it says, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place where your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. It's like Paul saying, you guys are taking our work from us. You know, we're going on trying to tell folks about the Lord. We get there and they already know about Him. You guys have already done it. You've already shared the gospel. It's hard. We hardly have anything to do in your area. We got to find a new area to work. You're doing so well. I mean, you're putting door hangers on every door. We go out and yeah, I think we're going to take a handful of door hangers. We go out there and we hang one on a door. And as we're walking away, the door opens up and says, we got one last week. that's what Paul was finding out. They were telling it out everywhere. Oh, folks, you're doing a good job. Amen. And I realize the COVID thing, and I you know, oh my goodness, I'll be glad when and if that ever passes. But you know, it may not pass. We might have to find a way to tell folks in spite of COVID. Okay, the way we did it before, we might have to adjust that slightly, but find a way to tell folks about Jesus. Amen. We've got to do that. And y'all are doing a good job, but maybe we could do it more and more. Maybe we could turn it up just a little bit. Amen. That's our goal, that we could do a little bit more. All right. So they received the word, and then they were mission minded, and it's great to be in a mission minded church, and not only in our own area, but around the world. You know, and y'all, I see your board out there. Y'all have missionaries all over the place. That's great. The world needs the gospel. and the gospel sounded out from them into other parts of the world. And the gospel needs to sound out from us, from our congregations into the whole world. And that's the beauty of missions. We have folks that can go on our behalf and help us get that accomplished in places where we cannot be. That takes money. Amen. And that's all part of it. So I just want to challenge you to continue your mission giving and possibly a little bit more, possibly more and more. If we could do just a little more in that area, I know it would be a huge blessing. Go with me to 2 Corinthians for just a moment. We'll be back in 1 Thessalonians, but 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I know it's not missions conference time, and missions isn't the focus, but I just want to give you something to think about. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 10. This is a missions passage, and here Paul's giving some advice. All right, if Paul giving advice, I'm going to listen. Amen. And herein I give my advice. I mean, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. He's talking about mission giving. Our mission giving ought to be a little more every year. All right? By God's grace, and through faith, our mission giving ought to be a little more. It ought to be a little more than it was last year. Our faith ought to continue to grow. We talk about, Lord, increase our faith. I mean, we got faith, amen, and praise God for that. But Lord, if our faith could be a little more, and Lord, we're doing all we can to reach, well, we're doing a lot to reach the world, but could we do a little more? Lord, could we do more and more to reach the world with the gospel? That's the goal. That's what we're trying to accomplish. All right. Now, First Thessalonians, go to chapter two and verse 14. For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So they suffered some persecution. Go to chapter 3 and verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And you know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see you as we also to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, verse 7, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. So these folks were faithful even through persecution. And their faithfulness, even though they were persecuted, now the type of persecution we're talking here is persecution for standing up for Christ. Persecution for witnessing. And we saw how they were witnessing. Amen. Paul says, man, you've done a great job. But they took some heat for it. The local folks didn't appreciate it quite as much as Paul did. Quite as much as the Lord did. Sometimes folks they're just not going to understand what you do when you go out and knock on a door or you interrupt somebody and give them a gospel tract and you talk to somebody about the Lord, invite them to church. They may not understand that and they may not appreciate that and they might actually laugh at you or yell at you. What do we do? Back then they'd beat them. They'd throw stones at them. They'd throw them in a prison. They'd throw them in a dungeon. And they says, oh, man, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to suffer for the name of Christ. And as soon as they got a chance to get out, they'd go out and do it some more. And sometimes they'd witness it in the prison. Amen. They wouldn't quit. Oh, I want to tell somebody about Jesus. They might laugh at me. That's the depth of our persecution. Keep telling folks about the Lord. All right, let's keep it up in spite of persecution. When they say you can't go to church anymore, we're locking the door, we're shutting the doors, and you're not allowed. It's illegal. to read the Bible. It's illegal to attend a church, any form of worship, outlawed in our state. What are you going to do? They were faithful in spite of persecution. You read those books back there. You read the book of Trail of Blood. You read that book, Baptist Martyrs. They were faithful in persecution. I don't know what's coming. Honest, I don't. But apart from a miracle of God, apart from a revival, and I'm praying for revival. I'm not giving up. But apart from a revival, we're headed for some major persecution in America. Those of us that aren't afraid to pick up our Bible and proclaim truth, we're headed for persecution. What will we do? I hope that we'll be faithful even more and more. Look at chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9 and 10. But as touching brotherly love, ye have no need... But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Now that's our subject tonight, is more and more, but I mean this time it's right in the verse. Amen. Our brotherly love, that it would increase even more and more. They had brotherly love. 1 John 3 and verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Amen. That is a telltale way of identifying a Christian. They love the brethren. You love to be in church. You love to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why sometimes after the service might be over for 30 minutes, and y'all are standing around talking. Why is that? Well, some would say, I'm not even going to go there. No, the reason we stand around and talk is because we love the brethren. We enjoy being around fellow Christians. Amen. That's a great reason to stand around and talk after the service. I am so glad that you all built that foyer out there. Why? So the pastor can have a great office? Yeah, he needs an office, all right? So you have nice restrooms? Yeah, they're nice. But the best part of that foyer is that big area in the middle and those chairs where folks can sit down and talk with one another. Amen? That is so important that we fellowship. Why? Because we love the brethren. That's proof that we're Christians. Amen? We love each other. All right? And Paul's saying, I'm so glad that you love the brethren. But maybe we could turn it up a little bit. Maybe our love could increase. Maybe we could love even more and more. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. Not just the folks in your church, but even the brethren outside of the church. Amen? Even all the folks in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Doing a great job. Maybe we could show our love just a little bit more. Look for ways to show your love to somebody else. Look for ways. Try to think of new, innovative ways of showing your love. Now, some of you have been showing your love by bringing veggies, right? And passing tomatoes around and cucumbers and whatnot. That's a great way to show your love. That's a great idea, okay? Maybe there's something else you can do. I don't know. Think about it. Pray about it. Say, Lord, is there some way that I can show my love to folks? I'll tell you a great way to show love is to think of folks and for whatever reason can't be here. They just can't come anymore. Or for whatever reason haven't come in a while. Maybe take them a couple of those tomatoes. Amen. Stop by and tell them you miss them. Have a cup of coffee with them. And just let them know you love them. Amen. Because brothers and sisters in Christ love one another. Even if they can't get to the house of God. All right. We have a love for one another. That brotherly love. Amen. So let's look for ways to show our love. Now, also, back to chapter 1 again, in verse 9 and 10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for a Son from heaven who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from wrath to come. They were looking for the return of Jesus. All right? To wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, I can't wait to see Jesus. Can you? I am so looking forward to seeing my Savior. Just to get a good look at him. The one who gave his life on Calvary. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Oh, to see him face to face, what a day that's going to be. I hope you're looking for the coming of Jesus. I hope you're listening for the trumpet. Like I said, he might send revival and things turn around. It could be another 20, 30 years. It could be another 50, 100 years before he comes back. But I'm expecting him to come back real soon, to be honest with you. I just believe it. It's very soon, and I'm looking for his return. I'm expecting him to come. These folks back 2,000 years ago were looking for the return of Christ. Now, the Lord told us about some signs we'd see. They hadn't seen the signs, but they were expecting him to come. We've seen the signs. And we go about our daily work like, well, another day, you know. Church another week. I wonder what the preacher will preach on this Sunday. And we just go through life and just ho-hum, you know. We're not looking for Jesus. And we've seen the signs. He's coming soon, folks. Let's be expecting him to come. Let's be looking for his return. In verse 3 in chapter 1 there. Notice this again. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love, and notice, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Patience of hope. That's the blessed hope. Titus 2 and verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That blessed hope. I know I'm going to see him someday. I know I'm spending an eternity with him in heaven. I'm looking for that blessed hope. That's what we live for. Amen. For one day, we're going to spend an eternity with him and looking forward to that. That's what patience in hope, he says. That's anxious, but patiently waiting. I'm anxious for your return. I can't wait for you to come, Lord. But I'm patiently waiting. I'm not going to get all bent out of shape if you don't come the day I thought you was going to come. We've seen folks do that, haven't we? Oh, I believe God's coming on, and Jesus is coming on such and such a day, and they publish it nationwide, and he didn't come that day. They weren't patiently waiting, all right? We're patiently waiting. We're just going to stay in the groove. We're going to keep attending church. We're going to keep singing the hymns. We're going to keep serving God. We're going to keep telling folks about the Lord. We're going to keep giving to missions. We're just doing what we're doing. But in the meantime, you know, every time we step outside, we walk out to the car. I got a handful of tracks. I got a handful of door hangers. I'm heading out to do the work of God. Just wondering, he might come today. Hard to keep our eyes on the road. I'm just expecting him anytime. That ought to be our attitude. And I trust it is, but maybe we could watch for him more and more. Hey, folks, time is at hand. Amen. Time is at hand. You see, this church had faith. They had faith. They served God. I mean, they were followers of God and his preachers. They received the word with joy. They were mission minded. They were faithful even in tribulation. They had brotherly love, and they were looking for the return of Christ. But Paul challenges them. Could we do it just a little bit more? Chapter 4 and verse 1, one more time. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, you see, the preachers had taught them well, and your pastors, have taught you well, all right? And as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so that you would abound more and more. We've seen how they've walked and how they pleased God. And just like you folks, they were doing a great job. But Paul challenged them to abound more and more. I want to do more for God next year than I did last year. I want to do more for God than I have in the past. I want to be closer to Him than I have in the past. I want to give more to missions than I have in the past. I want to tell more folks about the Lord. I want to win more souls to Him than I did before. I want to do more for God than I have in the past. I want to expect His return. I want to be really expecting His return. He's coming soon. He is coming soon. Whether you expect Him or not, He's coming soon. I want to be ready to meet Him. I want to be ready. When He comes or when He takes me to Him, either way, I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't want to hear, "Well, you did a so-so job." There were some folks who read about in the book of Revelation did a so-so job. Lukewarm. He says, "I'll spew you out of my mouth." That disgusts the Lord. He wants folks to give it their all. He wants us to do more and more. I mean, if God was thoroughly pleased with me last year, if I did the very same thing this year, I believe God would be disappointed in me. Why? Because I'm 1 year older in the faith. My faith should have grown. My soul winning should have increased. My giving should have increased. Everything about me should be more godlike, more Christ-like a year later than it was before. If I stay steady in my Christian service, I never get any worse, I never get any better, I'm failing. We all must do more and more. Let's stand with heads bowed. Father, I thank you for these folks. Just like Paul, I want to commend them for a job well done. I've talked with their pastor, and I know how thrilled he is with his people. God, I just have to believe that we could do just a little bit more. Speak to our hearts now and help us. God, there could be somebody in our presence tonight that's never been saved. Doing more and more is not what they need tonight. They need a Savior. God, have your will and way in the invitation. Heads bowed and eyes closed. It's my last night with you, and I just want to ask you one more time. Are you sure, absolutely positive, that you're going to heaven when you die? Debbie left for heaven just 6 months ago. She knew where she was going. Do you know where you're going? You'd say, "Brother Black, I'm positive that I'm going to heaven when I die." Could you lift your hand up as a testimony of God's grace in your life? Absolutely positive that when I leave this world, I'm going to heaven. All right, thank you. May put your hands down. I believe everyone raised their hand tonight, but it could be I missed someone. Maybe you'd say, "I'm just not sure I'm going to heaven, but I really don't want to go to hell." I'd like to pray for you. Is there anyone? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I promise I wouldn't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. Is there anyone at all that would say, "I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me, Brother Black." Anyone at all? Just slip your hand up, put it up and put it down. Anyone at all? Christian, maybe you'd say, "God spoke to my heart tonight. I want to do more for Jesus." Why don't you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. Yes, 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 several hands. Others, include me in that prayer. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, more. Others, others. Yes, yes. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. All right, thank you. You may put your hands down. Perhaps you'd say, Brother Black, God spoke to me. Maybe not so much tonight, but there was something He spoke to my heart about earlier in the week. And God keeps reminding me about that. Pray for me. Anyone at all? Just slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Yes, I see it. I see a hand. Anyone else? Pray for me, Brother Black. God spoke to my heart earlier this week. Father, I pray that you'd help each one that raised their hands. Lord, you know their hearts. You know the situation. You know what's on their hearts. And God, help us to be what you'd have us to be. Bless your invitation now, and we'll thank you. In Christ's name we pray.